don't have a winner yet, but this is increasingly feeling like it's going to be Steve Smith's Ashes. Jack Leach thought he'd done the impossible, got straight at his main man for 118, but then came the TV replays, and it was horrible viewing for England. A left-arm spinner stepping over the line for a no ball, a cardinal sin in the eyes of the pundits. Smith finished on 211, Australia on 497 for 8. Late in the day, England's openers were forced to face the music. Joe Denley's return showing as an opener saw him depart for 4. England finished 23 for 1, trailing Australia by 474. A monstrous day for the Aussies, Headingley is ancient history. Hello and welcome to the Wizards and Ashes Daily Podcast. I'm your host, not Yaz Rana, but Tal Hashim again. And sat alongside me is Ben Gardner. But first, let's head over to Old Trafford, where Rich Evans has finally watched today's play of Test cricket. I mean, what did you make of it, Rich?
Well, it was absolutely superb, an absolute pleasure to watch, of course. I mean, as you alluded to there, he did struggle early doors, there's no doubt about that. Jofra Archer is obviously sending down a hell of a lot of bumpers from the skipper's orders. I think in one over, he bowled 4 bouncers at him. And to be honest with you, there wasn't really too much of a plan after that. I do think Jack Leach definitely caused some issues. Obviously, you're talking about the no ball, the catch and slip of the no ball. But there was a few other occasions when Leach obviously tested Smith. But there was a lot of drama in those kind of opening stages, you know. Obviously, first ball of the day, getting edged and falling just short of slip. Inside edge of Jofra Archer. I think England knew kind of there and then that they needed him, and they needed him very quickly because they know what kind of damage he can do. He kind of ebbed and flowed his innings, really, because after that initial struggle, he started batting with a lot of confidence, started delivering, you know, the full repertoire of shots that we know he's capable of doing. When the second new ball came a little later on in the day, he then started to battle once more, and then after seeing off that second new ball, he once again upped the ante, and obviously along with Mitchell Starc towards the end, he really did bat England kind of out of the game, really. I'd like to be a bit more optimistic than that, but I think England are going to be going into day 3 hoping it's going to rain a little.
And especially with Smith, that he started off, it was a really strange start to the day for him. There was a full toss off Jofra Archer, which he straight back to him, and Archer just got fingertips to it. But it was the no ball just changed everything, right? He was seamless afterwards. It was kind of a slap in the face for him. And then he was back to normal again. You know, he was the funky leaves and all that kind of nonsense came back. And he was in the zone again.
That's absolutely right. And it was an innings where the tempo kept changing. And I think that's the mark of a quality batsman. Sometimes they're feeling it. Sometimes they just need to work their way back into form. And I mean, he did that absolutely superbly. There were a few occasions when you almost sensed that he was getting a little bit bored. And he gave a few chances. You know, there was one occasion where ball dropped in between 2 offside fielders. There was a few that flew towards the boundary, just short of fielders. But yeah, all in all, it was a high class innings. And as I say, with Smith, you know, this, without a shadow of a doubt, this is already Smith's Ashes. He's a legend. It's absolute pleasure to watch someone when they're at the top of their game, knowing that they're already going to go down in history, and you get to see them in the present. The best players rise in the biggest, you know, biggest series, biggest tournaments, and there's no doubt. No, you've done that today.
Now, Steve Smith played brilliantly, Ben. But
insight. Insight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they pay me the big bucks. But he was joined by Tim Payne today. Now, Tim Payne, he's been shorter runs. This was his first half century since October last year. That was a really important innings he played today. And I don't know about you, but I can't help but just root for him. He's been this guy who has just been known as the guy who got just thrown the captaincy, and you know, there's always going to be question marks about his batting. He's not hit a first class ton in, you know, donkey years, and he was on 49 for a long time today. But I was just willing him on because I guess I kind of feel for him because he'll never really get his due. But he did play really well today. I feel like people can admit that.
Yeah, he did play well. I think the thing is, he has been short of runs, sort of, but then also serves everyone apart from Smith and Labuschagne. And I feel like he has played a sort of crucial hand in quite a few partnerships. I think he's kind of, I mean, he's almost a more old-fashioned wicketkeeper's role in that sense, where he's like, he'll stick around for a bit, he'll help you sort of build a lead, or either stick with the tail or with the batsman that's there. And you'll never, he's not going to play the headline role, but he's always looked like he had a pretty solid technique. And I mean, when he came back into the side for the last Ashes series, he beat out some good competitors to get that spot, and he put his hand up then and like stuck at it throughout the series. And you never with a few of the others, you kind of think you think you know how you're going to get Head and Wade out, I guess, especially Broad's just going to get them. And although Payne has had his struggles with the short ball, that kind of feels like a challenge he has to get over himself, rather than England having the wood over him that way, if that makes sense. So he's like, I think it's not entirely surprising, I think, that he's got runs today. But yeah, it is a nice story. I mean, I guess at some point there's that he's going to get that monkey, that first class 100 on his back. But yeah, it's crazy. It's 2006 that he got 215 in like his third or fourth first class game in 2006, yeah. and no 100 since.
It's it felt watching him this series. I just felt from also because there's been that talk about Steve Smith may not have the captaincy, but he is Australia's leader and always doing the thing with the bat. And you felt
bit of guiding in the field as well at points. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So, especially, I guess it's especially important for him after Headingley, because you can imagine how, as a captain, you would come down quite hard on yourself.
Yeah, just thinking about every fielding position where you could have put someone to stop that, or bowling change that could have, and then of course the review. I mean,
yeah, especially when you're pretty close to being when people are saying you're sort of a specialist captain.
Yeah,
if you're not captaining well, then yeah. So yeah, from that point of view, it's a really important knock actually for him, and perhaps it's the kind of thing that he'll take into the captaincy and like the confident work behind the stumps and just like geeing his players up in the field. If he's feeling confident, that will go, you think that will go through the team tomorrow.
So, yeah. And of course he was helped by a drop catch by, it was Sam Curran who came on as 12th man, but England in general in the field, there was Jason Roy dropped a catch at slip, and the game sort of just, it was just passing them by really. It kind of, once the no ball happened, and of course Smith was Smith and did his thing, but, you know, Payne also scored with a certain amount of ease, and it kind of just felt like England was sort of out of answers. Jofra Archer was down on his pace again. And it was an old-fashioned day of test cricket, really.
Especially an old-fashioned day of Ashes cricket.
Because it just didn't seem like there was going to be that collapse happening there. Australia just kept on going.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's part of the Steve Smith effect, because England obviously have no idea how to get him out, but then it almost feels like they then have to bowl differently to the other guys. Like, well, this is the only place we're going to get a wicket, but then they stop bowling normally to them. They sort of start both searching but also switching off in the field. I mean, it's kind of a continuation from yesterday when there was that weird passage of play with the wind and all the stoppages, when England kind of switched off then as well, got kind of caught up in the sort of almost the funniness of it all. And even, I mean, you don't get too much into this like pop psychology, but Sam Curran, when he dropped that catch, there was almost more of a smirk on his face, wasn't there, than the thing. I guess with the we talked about how the overstep affected Smith and how he refocused, and it you'd hope it would have done the same to England, because Joe Root gave not Leach but just the whole England side a real kind of volley after that, saying like, come on guys, we're just not switched on here. But they didn't really get that back. And again, even in that partnership at the end between Lyon and Stark, I mean, it's maybe can seem inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, but it did allow Australia to build up that total quite quickly. Maybe you'd say that it allowed them to declare that a little bit earlier, and they lost the wicket quite close to the end today. These things all do add up, and England just, I mean, you almost can't account for Steve Smith, but there are a lot of the small things that they've got wrong in this test match, yeah, I guess.
And every time I was, you know, watching that Stark Lyon partnership as well, the amount of times I saw the ball go over the keeper's head and, you know, fly away for four, and it just, you know, incredibly frustrating day for England.
Yeah, but basically everything has gone wrong for England in this test match. I mean, I guess the one thing they haven't had is a bad injury, although Stokes did limp off at one point, but at least he returned to the field.
They need him now, don't they?
Of course,
Australia did declare, and then Joe Denley came out to bat, and again, I guess this podcast is just me talking about how I feel for people, but I feel for Joe Denley.
I think we all feel for Joe Denley,
because Jason Roy is someone, it's very clear England want this guy to come off in Test cricket, right? He struggled as an opener. It was clear to see. But, you know, they want him to succeed in Test cricket. And I think most people do because he is such an incredible player to watch. But then Joe Denley, who hit that 50 in the last Test, really bought 50 at four, is now opening. And he, you know, he didn't look a Test opener because there were a lot of plays and misses and a lot of, you know, airy fairy cover drives that were coming out of nowhere. But and I felt for him.
Yeah, it was the drives for me in particular. I mean, we should really stress that Australia did bowl well.
Yeah,
the quicks bowled brilliantly. We'll probably come onto line in a second, but the quicks bowled brilliantly, and facing the new ball in England, almost whoever's bowling it is so hard. It's probably the hardest challenge for a batsman in cricket. Yeah, I guess the thing is, so England have sort of, they've stuck by their line that they've picked, who they feel are the seven best batsmen in the country, which they might well feel. And Joe Denley, I mean, a lot of people think, how has he got in the side? But he has scored quite a lot of runs in Championship cricket this year especially, so that's not a totally ridiculous thing to say. But what they haven't done is really pick a squad that can really fit into a batting lineup in any way, which, I mean, like, yeah, there just aren't two openers in that squad. And yeah, you do really feel for Joe Denley because his reward for scoring such a gritty half century is to be basically a lamb to the slaughter.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Nathan Lyon there. He only bowled the one over tonight, and it
yanked out of the attack swiftly. Yeah, it was great to see.
it was not a great over. He dropped it short, and Rory Burns looked comfortable against him on the back foot. But you can't help but feel he is going to play a massive role in this Test match. There were footmarks there which Joe Root was bowling, you know, into and getting sharp turn. And Lyon has had a quiet couple of Test matches, and obviously, yeah, things have been said about Headingley and how that might affect him mentally. But he, at the end of the day, he's a world-class off-spinner. You'd back him to do well on that pitch.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I guess England can take a little bit of solace from those last two Test match performances where he's taken something like 2 for 200 or something across his last three innings. He is a world-class performer, and he obviously has a lot of credit in the bank, but there is just there must be a slight concern there, and he does have like a little bit, not to prove, but I don't think it's as guaranteed as it would have been after the first Test that he's going to just run through England. There's a chance they can save this game. Not a huge chance, but what, you give them a 35% chance of saving this game? Or is that generous, you think?
Oh, I don't know. I might have to look at that Crickviz, Winviz, basically. Winviz, yeah. Saying, yeah.
Drawviz, actually, I guess, in this case. Yeah. And, of course, Craig Overton looked solid for the 11 or so balls he faced as Night Watchman. And the knock-on effect of that is that now, somehow, like by complete chance, everyone is batting in the right place. Joe Root's at four, where he should be. Jason Roy is going to be down at five or six. Johnny Bairstow will be at seven. It's great. England's problem is solved by having Craig Overton at number three. So I think that's the way forward.
Well, reasons to be optimistic, England fans. All right, guys. We don't just talk about cricket. We write about cricket here too, every day on wisdom.com. And every month in the shape of Wisdom Cricket Monthly magazine. If you fancy giving the mag a go, you can get your first three copies, print or digital, for just £3. In fact, we'll only charge you £2.99 if you go paperless. To subscribe to the print version and get your first three copies for just £3, go to wisdomsubs.com and use the offer code, all in capitals, WCM3FOR319. To subscribe to the digital version and get your first three copies for just £2.99, go to pktmags.com/WCMpod. This has been the Wisden Ashes Daily. Listen to us on the Spotify, the podcast app, and Acast. And we'll join you tomorrow.